Matthew 13 tonight. Matthew 13, we're going to begin there. And I'm going to stick with the boys tonight, okay? I was going to go to the girls, but I'm going to stick with the boys tonight and talk about and expand on this thing of building character into boys, all right? And a lot of what we say will apply to girls too, but much of what we say will be specifically directed to the rearing of and building of character in boys. Brother Mick's going to sing for us tonight. That'll be a blessing. We'll enjoy it. And we'll be ready to go, Matthew 13, when he's done. Appreciate that, Mick. All right, let's ask the Lord's blessing on tonight's look into the book, all right? Dear Father, help us tonight, please. Instruct us, teach us, bless us to grow our boys into men, to build character into them, and before it is too late, to start early, as we looked last week at the necessity of that. Help me to be, Lord, helpful tonight, very practical in this lesson. God, I pray to find some good ground in someone's heart tonight, many, many hearts. Lord, there are several folks here whose children are grown and gone. But they're grandparents, they have influence, and I pray that you'll help us as well, those of us with those little precious grandchildren, to exert the influence that you give us over them. Bless us tonight. Teach us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we looked last week about this matter of growing boys into men. David's prayer for his kingdom is when he assumed the reign of the nation of Israel in Psalm 144, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, productive, putting something into society. It's not just draining society. Boy, we got enough of that. We got enough of that. Amen. We got enough. I don't like looking for a handout. Abby had one of her asthma allergy flare-ups a couple weeks ago, and she was having a hard time breathing, and Hannah couldn't get her in to see her doctor till the next day. And so I forget where I was, but they said it took her to urgent care. Oh, my soul. And the hospital, you got to pay the doctor and you got to pay the hospital. It was over $400. Saw her for 5 minutes. I called up there today. I kept my testimony. But I said, this is ridiculous. I said, I'm not looking for a handout. I'm not that type of person. I'm not looking for a handout. But you tell me $207 for 5 minutes? I'm not paying that, lady. I'm just not. You're going to have to take something off. And she did. She did. She took some off. But I'm not looking for a handout. We got enough on society. We need a bunch of young men being reared to put something into it. Amen? Like a plant. Grown up in their youth. You can't start when they're 16. Too late. Can't start when they're 17. Too late. Got to go at 7, 8, 9. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and men 12 years of age. He put it in drive. He drove forward, increased, what the word means, at age 12. Now, there are not many verses in the Scripture that teach us about what Jesus was like between the ages of 12 and 30. We find him at age 30 beginning his public ministry. By that time, he's a grown, responsible man. You know a little bit about his birth, and then we know a little bit about him at age 12 in the city of Jerusalem. But really, the Bible is a little silent about those what we would call those teenage years into the young adulthood years, if you will. Of course, I mentioned Luke 2:52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. You learn several character traits about Jesus from that one verse. But Matthew 13:55, a couple of verses in the Gospels here I want to draw your attention to. Verse 55, is not this the carpenter's son? Is not this the carpenter's son? This is the Jewish man speaking. Is not this the carpenter's son? Look at Mark chapter number 6. Mark chapter number 6 and verse number 3. Mark chapter number 6 and verse number 3. Talking about Jesus now. The religious rulers again said this in Mark chapter 6 verse 3. Is not this the carpenter? The son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon. And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. The thing I want to point out, is not this the carpenter? One point they said, is not this the carpenter's son? Here they said, is not this the carpenter? We also learn from the Gospels, not only did Jesus increase in wisdom and stature and favor with God and with man, we also learn that Jesus was a carpenter's apprentice as a boy. And I think that the Bible pretty well indicates here, and it may be a tad bit of speculation, but I believe it's very easy to speculate and see that he probably was apprenticed in the craft of carpenter. So as a boy, he learned to work. You know, we think of Jesus, you know, in his public ministry, and boy, that's wonderful. That's where it all happened for us on the cross and all that. But he spent 360 days, according to the Jewish calendar, as an 8-year-old boy. He didn't leap from birth to age 12 and then leap from age 12 to age 30. He went through all the processes of being 2 and 4 and 6 and 8 and 10 and 12. And many of those years, he was being apprenticed by his carpenter guardian, Joseph. Okay? Before Jesus was a preacher, he was a carpenter. Before John the Baptist introduced him as the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world, he was a carpenter. Before he worked any miracle, before he healed any sick person, before he raised any dead person back to life, he was a carpenter. Learning the trade of being a carpenter. He worked with his earthly guardian Joseph, and he learned from Joseph, if you will, the skill of building or carpentering. And I imagine that he was the master craftsman. Amen. I imagine he was, as he studied, learned under Joseph. Now, the sin of laziness may take a greater toll on young people than sins of immorality. I believe that. I believe it with all my heart, because there are far more lazy teenagers than there are immoral teenagers. That's true. There's a lot of immoral teenagers. There are more lazy ones. And truth of the matter is, it is the idle time that they have that leads them to mischief. I don't know if it's age. I don't know what it is. It's just difficult for me to be around teenagers that are lazy. I find myself with less and less patience with teenagers who are lazy and do not want to. I was not brought up that way. I've told you before, I can see the boys. I can see the residential neighborhood before we moved outside the city of Atlanta. I can see those sunny Saturday mornings in the summertime and even in the school year towards the spring of the year. I can see the boys walking down the street with their baseball bats and their gloves and their baseballs or their footballs, whatever season of the year it was, sport-wise. And my brothers and I out there with they weren't gas-powered. And they weren't electric. They were elbow grease maneuvered. And those boys said, "Hey, come on, let's go play ball." Boy, we look out there and see those boys. Man, I wanted to go play ball so bad. Dad would say, "Not till the work's done. Not till the work's done. When the work's done, you go play ball." I hated it then. I appreciate it now. I appreciated it for many years, in fact. Okay. This is what Jesus did before he ever worked a miracle. He was a carpenter's son. Before he ever preached a sermon, he was in his shop with his daddy, his guardian, learning how to work. So it's hard for me to be around lazy young men, and I don't think the Lord feels any less about it than I do. He probably dislikes it more than you or I would. Now, I want to give you a list of 10 things to do or to watch for. This is so practical, folks. I want to say pathetic, but yet at the same time, we need help in our homes. Amen. I want to give you a list of 10 things. We won't get them all done tonight. I'll watch the time. Give you a list of 10 things to do or watch for when you are interested in building character into your boys. Okay. All around this idea that Jesus, when he was 12, when he was 13, when he was 14, even before that, his guardian father, if you will, Joseph, was teaching him the trade of carpentering. He was teaching him how to work, all right, building character into the life of Jesus. So, man, Jesus being the Son of God, how do you build character into the Son of God? Well, how does Jesus increase? But that's what our Bible says he did. Now, I can't wrap my mind all the way around that. How does the Son of God increase? I can't wrap my mind around it, but that's okay. I don't have to wrap my little mind around immense truth. I'll just accept it for what the Bible says it is. Jesus increased in these areas, and he also had character traits taught him by his guardian, Joseph. Let's go to the book of Proverbs. We're going to be there for the rest of the night. Let's go to the book of Proverbs. Let's look at some of these things that will help build character into the lives of our boys. And remember, 17, 18, 19 is too late. Okay? If you're sitting with a 17-year-old lazy son and you say, "Oh boy, I'm going to take these things and go to work at it, folks," but you might be too late. But if you got 4-year-olds at the house, 7, 8, 9-year-olds at the house, 10-year-olds, you got time. Okay? You got time. So here we go. Number one, Proverbs chapter 18. Have I got you there? Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 9. Proverbs 18 and verse number 9. Here's what the wise man said. "He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster." Number one, teach them to take care of their things. Teach them to take care of their things. "He also that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster." People who don't take care of their things because they're too lazy to take care of them. That's wastefulness. Wastefulness. Now you look at the average young person, the average boy growing up in the United States of America, they are given so much, handed so many things. And one of the ways to help build character in the lives of our boys is to teach them to take care of their things. Do not allow them to leave their baseballs and footballs and softballs and their bicycles and their toys out in the yard. Make them go outside and bring them in. Many times we get home from church and the headlights would pick up an article, something left out in the grass, and I would say, "Go pick it up. Or I would come home and they would be in bed. Or they would be at home. And I would come home from soul winning visitation. And it would be dark outside. And I would come home and I'd see something left out in the yard. I'd go get them out of bed. So you left out in the yard, go pick it up. But don't they need to sleep? They need character more than they need sleep. Get them up. Go out there and pick it up. You don't buy a baseball glove, baseball bat, softball, brand new bike, leave that thing out in the grass to get dew all over it and start rusting and messing around and ruining a glove. You say, that's such an insignificant thing. Oh, no, it's such an important thing. Don't allow that to happen. They make them keep their rooms picked up. They need to be taught to change their clothes after school so as not to ruin them. Now, boys are boys. And they don't have hand-me-downs. They blow the knees out, they rip the tennis shoes apart, and that's a boy. That's all right. Girls pass things down. Boys blow them out. And I don't think you should have a heart attack if they come home with their little school bell pants and a grass stain on it. That's going to happen. Have a heart attack if they don't. Okay? But at the same time, their nice Sunday clothes and things like that, they ought to be taught to take care of those things. Take them off their body, put them on a hanger, and put them in the closet. I'm talking about taking, he that is slothful in his heart is brother to him that is a great waster. Lazy young people do not care for the things that others provide for them. Teach them to take care of their things. I'm going to tell you when they're going to really get interested in taking care of it, when they start buying. All of a sudden, the whole attitude changes. And that's my next point, number two. Number two, look at Proverbs 21. Number two, do not allow them to constantly ask for things they want. Do not allow them to constantly ask for things they want. Okay. Look at chapter 21, verses 25 and 26. The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. He coveteth greedily all the day long, but the righteous giveth and spareth not. The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. Now, folks, we're talking about a difference here between things that they need and things that they want. I don't think there's anything wrong with a dad providing the things that his children need. But we're talking here about wants versus needs. Wants versus needs. Don't let them get in the habit of coming and asking you for the things that they want and then giving it to them. Because if you do that, you're going to inflame in them the spirit of covetousness, number one. And then they'll get the idea that they can have anything they want for nothing. So don't allow them to come and always saying, Dad, get me this, I want this. Mom, get me this, I want this. Can I want this. It's not something they need, it's something they want. Now, the better approach is to create a way for them to earn some money by doing some work around the house. If there's something they want, and they want it real bad, say, hey, you know what? Dad's not going to buy that for you. It's not a need, it's not a necessity, it's a luxury, it's a want. And I'm not against you having it, but I'm not going to go out and just buy it and hand it to you. So if you want to get this work done and you want to do this for 3 or 4 weeks and you want to earn a little money, then you go out and buy what you want yourself. That's a different story. They work for it. They take the money and buy the things they want. And when they start to find out how quickly hard-earned money can disappear, number one, they won't want too much. That really gets slimmed down. And number two, the things that they do want and buy with hard-earned money, they will take care of. So do not allow them to constantly ask for things they want. You see it over here in these stores? Do you see it? Okay. Then next week, it's the same thing all over again. Okay. Shh. I got it. Wait a minute. Stuff it in their mouth. I'm being silly there, but it drives you crazy in the stores. Absolutely drives you nuts. That's why I don't like to go to stores. I go to stores when I have to. Brother, it's tough. Giving young people. I'm talking about at age 5, 6, and 7. Giving them what they want and requiring no work for it will teach them they can get what they want for nothing. All they got to do is stomp their feet a little more. You know, I told my Sunday school class, my wife stomped her foot the other day. Yeah. I couldn't believe it. You know, you're supposed to be past that age 2 or 3 years ago, I would think. Amen, you know. She said, how long has it been since I've seen Max? And I said, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks. She said, when are we going to be able to see him? I said, I don't know, maybe a couple more weeks. We went the very next day and we saw Max the very next day. Because when they are, I won't say that, when they get older, you give them what they want. Amen, all right. But not when they're 5. We were having fun with that the other day. Do not allow them to constantly ask for things they want. Daddy, can I have? Daddy, can you get me? Daddy, can I have? Teach them when they want something, come to me and say, son, look, when you want something, honey, when you want something, come and sit down with Dad, sit down with Mom, and say, look, this is something I'd really like to have. It's not a necessity. It's something I want. And I'm happy to work for it. You got some chores or some things I could do around the house to earn a little money. Do you remember that story Daryl Champlin told after they labored there in Congo to see those natives saved? They had nobody saved until her mother died. Mrs. Champlin's mother died. And they buried her mother. And when those natives saw a Christian funeral, when they saw those people weep tears and in control of themselves and not cutting themselves and screaming like the heathen did, they said, we want to know your God. They got saved. Remember what he said? Was it the next day or three or four days later? Those men showed up. They said, we need some work. Really? What do you need work for? We need some money. Why do you need money? We need to buy some soap. Nobody ever said anything to them about being clean. That was just the testimony and witness of the Spirit of God inside of them. But isn't it amazing? They wanted to work for it. And then the next time, they came about 2 or 3 weeks later and said, we want some more work. Why do you want more work? Because we need some money. Why do you need money? We need to buy some clothes. Isn't that amazing? He never preached on nakedness and not being properly clothed, but they knew it. But what's amazing to me that they wanted to be clean, yeah. What's amazing to me, they wanted to be clothed, yeah. But what's amazing to me is they knew they had to work for it. And we'll just hand our kids all they want. Oh, you want that? Okay, Daddy will get it for you. Daddy will get it for you. We're training them, teaching them, growing them up. Want something? Just ask for it. Just want something, and you don't have to work for it, nothing, just give it to them. So do not allow them to constantly ask for things that they want. Number three, I'm not going to get through very many of these tonight, I can see already, but we'll finish up later. Number three, they need something to do that requires consistency. They need something to do that requires consistency. Look at Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse number 6. They need something to do that requires consistency. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse number 6. Here's what the Bible says. The wise man said, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. So God says to the wise man, I want you to send your son out to look at the ant. The ant. Here's God using the ant as an object lesson to teach a man character or a boy character. An insect. Now, you're told to consider her ways, learn wisdom. The ant goes about its business consistently. You find an ant hill and observe it day after day after day. You'll find that ant going to and from the source of food, back and forth, and back and forth, and back and forth. And they do that every day, day after day, for as long as it takes to get the job done. Back and forth, day after day after day. Now, all I'm saying is this, a job or a chore that requires consistency is a tool to help build character. It could be something as simple as emptying the trash every day. every day. You have to look. You have to be creative. You have to find things that require them to be consistent and do the same thing day after day, day after day, day after day. Well, they get tired of doing the same thing day after day. How many of you did the same thing today that you did yesterday? You got up and went to work this morning. And tomorrow, you know what's going to happen? You're going to get up and do the same thing you did today. That's life. And by the way, there's a little bit of security in that. And stability in that. Find something that a job or a chore that requires consistency is a tool to help build character. Find something that your son can do that has to be done over and 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 make them do it. And make them do it consistently. Make them do it right. Now, I want to tell you, Brother Mick and I have been sitting down talking about the opportunity, and he had talked to the school kids about it here a couple of weeks ago, the opportunity to really push this thing of learning how to play a musical instrument for the church orchestra and for the school orchestra and things like that. And we're going to have a big push for this on Sunday, May the 18th. If we can get it all together, it looks like it's going to happen. We're going to have kind of an instrument day here on Sunday afternoon where you can bring your child. They'll look at the child and kind of gauge, okay, what would be the best instrument for this child to play. This child would be looks like they'd be good on the trumpet. This child has long arms, be good on the trombone. This one might be good on the flute, and kind of match that young person with a musical instrument, teach you how to go on eBay and buy that thing buy a good instrument at an inexpensive price, and then offer lessons for the children this summer. And I want to tell you something. Music lessons is one of those things that I'm talking about here. If you find, you give them a music lesson and they have to do it day after day after day after day after day after day after day. And it's not just learning to play an instrument. It's building character in their lives. Now, you don't have to do it if you don't want to. We're just going to make it available. There are some kids who would love to play a musical instrument, and what a blessing. But I want to tell you something, friend. It's far more than the musical instrument. It is the necessity. Oh, I can still hear that trumpet in the basement. And now it's piano lessons. And I remember when it was clarinet. And when it was trombone, and when it was flute, and it's every day, day after day, play and play and play and play, and they squawk and they squeak, and they're horrible when they start, and it drives you nuts, but put up with it, and let them have something consistent to do. I'm not against sports, and I think that's part of it, but I think it needs to be something different than sports. Or added to sports. Teach them to play. Put them in a situation where they're taught to play a musical instrument. And have them practice consistently, day after day. It's the character part of it. Folks, I don't care if my boy ever plays a music. You got to get your eyes up all in the big picture. It's not just music. It's character. It's having to do it and do it and do it and do it and fail and do it and do it and do it and fail and fail and do it and do it and do it and learn and practice and practice and practice and do it and do it and do it. It's the character part of it that's important, folks. It's the character part. All right? So they need something to do that requires consistency. Something, some job at the house, some chore. You have to get creative, do the music lesson thing. I don't know. It's your child. You're going to have to figure out what your child needs. But every child needs something to do that requires consistency. Okay? Number four, and I'm done. They should work hard when no one is looking. They should work hard when no one is looking. Again, you're in Proverbs chapter 6, this ant. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer, gathereth her food in the harvest. You know, I would hate to think that an insect would have more character than me. Wouldn't you? The ant needs no overseer, no guide, no ruler. He just goes and gets the work done when no one is looking. The truth is, this may be the most important matter when it comes to a good work ethic. This has got to be learned from youth up. They need to learn to work hard when no one is looking over their shoulders. Now, start them on a job, dads. Start on a job with them. And then excuse yourself for some reason. Say, look, I got to go take care of something. I got to talk to mom a minute. I got to do something upstairs. I got to go to the basement for something. You keep at it. And I'll be back. And they go off somewhere and see what's happening. Sneak around the house. Get somewhere where you can observe. And if they're... then you got to work on something. And if while you're gone, man, they're in there and they're keeping at it and they're working, you know, be gone for a few minutes and then come back. And if they've stayed busy and they've worked hard, compliment them. And don't worry about whether they made any progress or not. If they stayed busy and they attempted to get the job done in your absence, praise them for the character trait of working when no one was looking. Okay? Is that all you got done? That's not going to help anything. It's not so important how much they get done. What's more important is that they kept at it when you were gone. You with me tonight? We're talking about building character into our sons at age 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay? If they do not work hard, then teach them about the ant. Say, son, that little bitty insect called the ant, all those little female insects, they have to be female. If they weren't, they'd be called uncle. Amen? All those little ants. That's bad. I know. I've been sowing it with Nemeth too long. Amen? Now, son, that little bitty ant, that little, and if you can find an ant somewhere around your yard, but tell them that little bitty ant, that little ant gets the job done, gets the work done over and over again. Nobody looks over his shoulder, and I can't leave you 5 minutes. You're sitting down. You're playing? You mean tell me an ant has more character than you? Work on them a little bit. Work with them. Teach them to work hard when no one is looking. These are simple, practical, plain ways to help build character into your boys and grow boys into men before age 18. Because then it's too late. It's too late. All right, I'm going to stop so we can have announcements. Let's pray together.